episode 9 of Them Aspergers, then. I know that when I post these on, well, everywhere that they go, I don't name them till after we're done because I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So, decisions on the topic. Have you got one? Like, because after I spoke to you earlier today, you said that you were going to let me decide on the topic. And as you know, as any self-respecting Asperger, there is routine to this, damn it. And we will stick to the routine. Don't be trying to change the routine by asking me what topics we need to be talking about.
Yeah, that was just a cop-out, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, you can't start throwing, but that's it now, forever. This is how this is locked in. This is how this works. So you will always have to make the decision on what topic we're talking about now. It'll never be me. I mean, admittedly, there was that one episode that was me.
There was that one episode that was you.
But that was a one-off.
Okay.
So what is it today?
We're going to talk about employment.
Yeah, employment. That makes sense. We did talk about school.
This is a smooth transition.
It's not a smooth transition, but it's a transition nonetheless. Is that the right way? Nonetheless?
Yeah, nonetheless.
All right.
You just say it odd.
How do I say it, Rod?
Non.
Oh, okay. None. Right. So, yeah, employment. I mean, employment's... Actually, do you know what? Employment for me is probably more complicated than employment for you.
Oh, definitely. Like, this is definitely you've had, bigger
like,
for you.
Because you've had, like, two jobs in your entire life.
Four, but, you know.
Have you? Oh, yeah. So, there was the waiting job we do now. Elf. What was the other one?
Barista.
He was a barista?
Hmm.
Okay. I just didn't know that, that's all.
You did?
Did I?
Yeah.
I suppose it's worse. I mean, obviously, you know, not to go on about it, but I'm older.
Yeah, if anyone didn't know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I got my first job when I was 15, 33 now, so I've had a fair few years, and in that time, I've had a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
But employment is one of those things that comes up in people. I mean, a lot of people with Asperger's don't have jobs.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that you're always told to, do you know what I mean? Like, not that you can't get one, but I've been on like courses. So after I got diagnosed, I got sent on an employment course because I always don't like the jobs that I do. Like my jobs have always ended up being in retail.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in retail. And like you can look it up and the first things that tell you about employment and Asperger's is retail is one of those jobs that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Just because you got to talk to strangers all the time. You've got it's just talking to strangers all the time. Think about it. Like going out on the shop floor when it's busy. You know, that kind of thing. So retail's one of those positions that you're not supposed to go into. And like I said, after I got diagnosed, I went on a course, an employment course, and everybody on that course was obviously Asperger's autistic.
Yeah.
None of them had a job except me, and those that had had a job had only had like volunteer work.
Yeah.
At like libraries or bookshops, clothes shops, charity stuff. None of them had actually been employed. And it was always one of those things that people always say to you, like, well done on getting a job. Like, it's a big deal you've got a job. Like, you should be impressed that you've got employed. And, like, just being able to hold the job down as well should be, like, something that you should be proud of. But, yeah. Like, I don't know if it's because, I mean, I've mentioned before that I don't have, like, a feeling of pride towards stuff or, like,
yeah.
Achievement. So maybe it's that. But I kind of don't want to because I kind of know that I don't want to be in retail, but it's something that's just become that way now because like I've always had retail jobs. So it's the only work I know. Like yeah. The job I'm in now I've been doing for 3 and a bit years. Job before that I did for 5 years. And then I've had a couple of jobs that were also retail for like a year at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm just used to it and it is mega stressful and I have to have risk assessments done and there's loads of parts of the job that I just can't do and I know I can't do them. Before diagnosis is fine. Well, it wasn't fine because before diagnosis, there's loads of stuff I know I couldn't do in retail but was being made to. And then after you get diagnosed, there's loads of stuff that you know you can't do, but because you've got a diagnosis, you can be like, I can't do this. And then there's no like, you have to, it's your job. They just go, okay, we understand, that's fine.
Yeah.
So there's always that benefit of being diagnosed, but I've always found that getting hired after being diagnosed is difficult. Like I always put it, I don't put it on my CV. Like I don't put Asperger's on my CV when I apply for jobs. But I do kind of like, you know, like in the hobbies and interest bit.
Yeah.
I used to put like write a blog for Asperger's or like something like that just to
hint.
Yeah. And like when you do the bit, you fill the form out and they say, have you got any disabilities or anything like that? I always tell them there and then. It's always a risky one because the awareness of Asperger's isn't great. A lot of people don't know what it is. Yeah. So like they just go, oh, what's that? And then you have to sort of be like, it's a form of autism. And they're like, oh, does that mean we have to do anything, change anything? So it makes jobs difficult.
But that's just from ignorance.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's just, I suppose, I mean, because when I went to this job course, I noticed that like a lot of the jobs that are suggested to people with Asperger's is background stuff. So working in a warehouse, like working in a factory, any job that has like a back of house bit where you're not going to be out in the open and you're just going to be doing like task work by yourself and that kind of thing. Because I do think that even though a lot of jobs need like teamwork and things like that, I always feel like people with Asperger's are more solitary. I'm definitely more solitary when I'm at work.
Yeah.
Like as much as, you know, it's important in retail to work as a team, I don't think I can think of an actual time when I've worked as a team. I feel like I definitely do everything on my own. I'll just do it near other people so it appears like I'm working in a team. If you know what I mean. But anyway, I kind of went on a weird, like, because you've mentioned it now, like, well, I think all this stuff's just coming out of my head. Like,
no, that's good though.
All at once. But yeah, like, it's hard because if you're not diagnosed, you just have to get a job. Obviously, if you're diagnosed young, there are like benefits you can claim, things you can get, depending on where you are, situation, that kind of thing. I think it's different, like in every country, it's different in counties and that kind of thing. But if you're diagnosed young, you pretty much kind of like don't have to get a job. But if you want to, do you know what I mean? Like it's either something that's
definitely
hidden, like I said, like warehouse factory work, or you're one of those people on the spectrum that has like the unique talent or the superpower that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And then that just becomes your job. Like you're an artist or whatever. And it doesn't seem to be like there's, like, I don't know if you ever tried Googling or looking at internet jobs suitable for people with Asperger's. Like it never brings anything up, really. It's always really vague, and everyone I've ever spoke to about it kind of doesn't tell you like exact jobs. And yeah, like I had to get jobs before because obviously you can't claim benefits when you're not got a diagnosis of anything.
Yeah.
So you have to just get work. I mean, as I mentioned in the last episode, I did not do well in school. So it's not like I could have like just become something like a doctor or, do you know what I mean, like a solicitor or one of those jobs that you don't really need to be like a people person because you have a unique skill that's the reason you're being hired. And I got it in my head that everybody has this like unique talent that will become their job.
Yeah.
So like everybody like has this thing that's their thing. You know what I mean? Like have you ever watched a TV series called Futurama, but you probably haven't. There's a bit in that where they basically do like a DNA test on someone and it tells you what job they got. I kind of always thought that's how like life worked.
How it works, yeah.
So somebody would just go, oh, this is your job. And you know, you ever filled out those like online quizzes to find out what job you're best suited for?
I've never done that, no.
Oh. Like, this is a big thing for me, I guess. Like, I feel like I'm doing a lot of the talking already, but it's because like getting the job that was right for me has been like one of my weird like life crusades forever. Since I was like 16 and somebody said, so what do you want to do? Like, because all the way through school, I had no idea. Everybody had this like, I want to be an astronaut, cowboy, you know what I mean? Like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And I had nothing. I just went, I don't know. And then when I finished school, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. And I still don't. I still haven't found the job that's right for me. I always think it might be. And then someone explains to me what the job is. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I think it's, and then when you get diagnosed, I thought that would be easier because I could apply to jobs and just put Asperger's and then that would help. But I just didn't, do you know what I mean? Like people don't hire you sometimes. Like, I knew that they couldn't say that and he wouldn't do that, but I felt like I was having the same problem, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so to start, like, I don't think it's, I don't know, like, I don't want to mention every, like, I've only had four, but there's no point mentioning two of them, really, because, like, I don't want to go through every single job. I feel like that's not, but, like, what would you say was your first, like, experience of work, and how did you find it?
Well, I didn't want to get a job, so, like, even now, like, when I'm at work, I want to be at home.
Yeah.
I don't want to be at work. Like, you have, like, these routines, you have, like, the sanctuary of your house, home, flat, whatever, and you don't want to be at work. Work is one of those things that I know I've got to do because you need money. So, like, the first job I had, I think I was 15, it was in a fast food restaurant. I just cleaned dishes, basically. And that's what I remember of it. But I remember hating it. I remember it only being 4 hours a week, but I remember hating it. It was too hot. It was too loud. It smelled of just fried food constantly. There's, like, this weird element of socializing. So you have to talk to people, like the other people that worked there, customers, that kind of thing. I remember the whole thing being hideous. And only, like, having to do, but, like, your parents don't know, like, I wasn't diagnosed, so it was just one of those things where, I mean, I wasn't making a lot of money, I think I was making, like, £10 every Saturday, but that was just, you know, just to, like, get, like, a work ethic, you know, they always give teenagers, like, jobs, just to get, like, a feeling of what, like, the world of work, like, work experience at school and that kind of thing, which, obviously, I did work experience at school, also hideous. Like, I ended up working in a factory that made robotic arms. You know those ones that build cars?
Oh, yeah.
They built them. That was horrible because that was all, like, blokey blokes in overalls. and I do not socialise. I socialise better with girls than boys. I don't socialise with guys very well. And guys that are proper blokey, like, alpha male types, I can't talk to them at all. So that was, like, I don't know how long work experience is, 2 weeks, but it felt like it was 6 months. So I don't particularly like having a job. I don't particularly like working, but it's not that I don't like working. Like, if I go to a job and can work on my own and just get a job done by myself, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's the weird, like, social interactions of having a job that isn't good with me. And yeah, that was, like, the first job when I was 15, I think. And I got a job, a full-time job, after I finished school when I was 16. That wasn't so bad. That was working for my dad. But still, like, that was hanging out in lorries with blokey men, so I was quite quiet the whole time through that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, that's just how it is. Getting a job's just, I don't know if anybody, I mean, obviously people do. People must like working. Or having a job.
I don't know. I think people like money.
Yeah, I suppose. But I found that, like, it's hard to get hired, or in my case, keep a job. Like, I feel like, I mean, how difficult was you? Because obviously, like, I've explained before, I'm not good at, like, interviews. And, like, interviews is one of those things, like, because you have to give an impression to someone about yourself. So I don't interview well, mainly because I've explained before that I don't like interviews. Interviews are a weird scenario because you kind of have to sell yourself, which involves, like, exaggerating things about yourself, making things up about yourself. Not making things up, but, you know, I mean, like, you have to try and make yourself sound amazing. Like, they can't, you know, like, cope without you.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So, like, all the jobs I've ever had that I kept are jobs that I got because I knew someone that worked there or was related to someone that worked there or like that.
Yeah.
That's how I've always been hired. Every job I've ever got, including the one I've got now, is because I knew someone that was already there and they kind of already had, you know, known me for a while, got to know me and, like, vouch, like, yeah, he's a good lad, like, this, that, and the other. And the jobs I've gone to where the people don't know me, I've just horribly failed the interview.
Yeah.
It's always the same thing. And I've been on loads of interviews. I don't come across well in an interview. And I thought, like, getting a diagnosis would help with that. Because then I could give them the diagnosis, they'd read it in my CV or application form, whatever. And then when they interviewed me, they'd have that in the back of their head that they would, you know, be like, oh yeah, but he's doing this because of this.
Yeah.
But then you realise that they don't know what it is, so they don't know what they're supposed to do, so you still come across bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, interviews, it's kind of what you said, but the more difficult thing for me is, like, I wouldn't say that I'm shy, but I come across as really shy if you first meet me. Like, when I don't know someone, I'm kind of like a mute. I find it really difficult to talk to people that I don't know, and when I do talk to them, it's really forced. So if I, like in a social situation, unless I know everyone there, like, I tend to, it's hard to describe, like, if I am put in a room with a group of friends that I know and one person that I don't know, if the group of friends I knew all left the room to, I don't know, like, go and get a drink or something, and I was just left with one person I don't know, I won't talk to them because I would rather just not talk to people that I don't know.
Yeah.
So if I sit down in an interview with someone that I don't know, I just tend to be really, like, you have to ask me questions to get me to respond. I won't just talk on of my own accord. And I'm like that just in general, like.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that about you.
Yeah, I don't really talk. Like, it's got, like, when I was younger, my mum did the whole, like, children should speak when they're spoken to. And,
yeah,
like, I'm a rule sticker. So I kind of just live by that now. Like, I speak when I'm spoken to, but I don't make, like, I guess, an active effort. And I think that's where I come across bad in interviews, because I can be quite quiet and I can not give, like, the, like, a good impression, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't, it's a weird, until you, like, say it out loud, but I didn't realise, like, how much social interaction is important to getting a job.
Yeah.
Like, I have been to other, like, stores, with the current job I've got now, to do a risk assessment with somebody else that had Asperger's that was working within the company. And one of the things I noticed about him is the other staff said that he doesn't talk to us that much, and they were quite clicky and, like, quite, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were quite a big group and they all chatted to each other and gossiped and went to, like, the pub after. And he just didn't. Like, he didn't talk to them. He wouldn't go anywhere after work. Like, he'd just go home.
Yeah.
Do his job, go home. It's the same thing me and you both do. Like, we go to work for the time we're supposed to be at work. Once work's done, home. Like,
yeah.
If anyone was like, do you want to go to the pub after? Do you want to go for food after? I'm just like, oh, I've got to go. And yeah, same thing there. And, like, the whole thing is really with jobs is, like, the whole thing is a social, is one big social interaction.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why. I mean, some of the reasons that I've heard that people with Asperger's don't have jobs, it's got to be that. Like, they don't interview well, or they can't do the job once they're there. And in all fairness, like, there have been other people that have, I mean, everyone else I've ever known that worked in retail that was on the spectrum didn't stay there long. Like, yeah, they were only there shortly and then they were gone again. I think the reason I can do it and you can do it is just because we're both management. So you have more control over your routine, schedule, who you talk to, who you don't talk to, like, I stay off tills, you know, that kind of thing. And because of that, that's how it is. But, like, getting to that stage is difficult. Interviews are hideous. Like I said, the way I've been employed in the past is because I either didn't have an interview at all,
yeah,
or the person interviewing me knew me before the interview. And that's how I've got employed, you know. But then once you're there, like, I can't think of a job that's not, like, a normal job, like working in a supermarket or working in a factory, warehouse, whatever, where teamwork isn't, like, a thing that always comes up. You know, when you read the adverts in, like, on websites or in newspapers, you know, are you a team player? Like, are you into team building? Like, it comes up all the time. And I think people with Asperger's just aren't that way. We're just not that way inclined. Like, we're just all about working on our own. Like, the best things with any job I've ever had, the best, like, bits of, like, the best times I've had at work or the jobs I've done really well are the jobs that they were like, they've sent me off on my own to go do, you know?
Yeah. I guess we'll talk about the jobs that we do well, the job that we both do now. So we're both supervisors in a shop.
Yeah.
Like, things I would say about you at work is, I would say that you don't really come across as, I'm just going to give you my perspective of you.
I mean, I know, because like, yeah, go on. Yeah, I was going to say, I probably know, yeah, go on, say it, just say it. I'm going to say, I probably don't get to say it, but just say it anyway. And, yeah.
Okay, so you don't really come across as unsociable, but you are. Like, it's a weird one. At work, you've obviously got your standard persona that you put on always. Like, the way you present yourself, the way you are with people. You have, like, a persona.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's because, I mean, I've said before, like, the reason that I have to have a persona is because that's how I got employed and that's how I keep a job, is you have to go out there, learn NT behavior and then just copy it. Yeah. If you do that, then you appear normal. You can't do it all the time. There are, you know, your true nature will come out constantly, but it only comes out in little bursts, so people just think that was weird, and then you go, they think he's gone back to normal, which is why I always hear, like, there's nothing, you know, I wouldn't have realized. But yeah, sorry,
that's all right. So you have that, like, the persona you kind of put on is you're quite funny but in a blunt way, so you tell jokes quite a lot but they're always quite harsh. Like, being mean to people, but people take it as a joke, although, like, sometimes I feel like it's laced with a seriousness.
Yeah, I mean, that's because, I mean, like, once again, everyone likes the funny guy.
Yeah.
So people always like the guy that can make them laugh. Like, it was the same in school, it's the same at work. If you can do that, you can, like, people just like you. But I just do it for the sake of other people, if I'm honest. Like, I don't see myself as funny naturally. It's just learning what people at work find funny and then just making jokes about it. And yeah, I guess the way I've got it is I've got it down to making jokes about people, but using things like real observations about them as a joke, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're quite set in your ways with how you do things, so you have, like, a routine to the way you do everything and you stick to it, so you stick to doing things a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, with like retail in general, like, because you're out in public all the time, because there's loads of people, like, gathered around you in the shop, like, you, there's strangers talking to you all the time, like, there's, and, like, weird things, like, you can't have a set way of doing stuff. I've always noticed that, like, when you give yourself a task, and that's the task you're supposed to be doing that day, and then something happens, like, you know, there's, like, a word from a higher up that says you've got to start doing this now. I used to get really bogged down with the fact that I'd got it in my head that this is the job I'm doing today, and I have to finish that job, and then when someone comes up to you and says, you've got to change that job, you do freak out because your routine's gone, you know, your plan for the day has gone, it's just disappeared. I'm sure it's the same for you, like, yeah, you have the same thing. And sometimes I get so, like, engrossed in a task that I'm not paying attention to anything else that's going on. I realized this today, because I was at work earlier today, that I was doing this thing where I was wrapping up these big packages with, like, bubble wrap, and I was so into getting them done before a certain time, I didn't even notice there was people, like, talking to me, asking questions, like, that kind of thing. Just, I was gone. Like, I was gone in the task. I was just, like, focused on doing it. So, yeah, I am quite set in a ways, especially, if, like, when you've been doing a job or working at somewhere for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You have your set way of doing everything. Like, I have the set way of, do you know what I mean? Like, which door I'm going to come into the shop to, like, which, like, how, what order I'm going to, like, sort my stuff out in the back to what order I'm going to do everything. And I do everything in the same order every time. But, like, people with Asperger's, that's standard. Like, yeah, we all have to do things the same way every day, because if you differ from that, it just causes you all kinds of stress and anxiety that you don't need.
Yeah.
And it's the only way you can hold down a job, really, is like I said, is to appear normal the best you can. So to learn
the behaviors of the people that you're working with and what's considered normal behavior, copy it. Like, just even if you don't understand it, which I don't, just to mimic it as best as you can. And then, like, structure everything. Like, everything's got to have a structure and a routine and a way of doing it, and just stay to that. And, like, you know, it works.
Yeah.
To some extent. Like, I guess I've managed to keep this job with very little friction with the way I do things.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can, like, recommend, like, holding a job down. But you can't. It means you can't move on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know we've said a couple of times that, like, we've both considered changing jobs.
Yeah.
Because obviously there is high levels of stress to this job. Like, just the things you have to put up with, the, you know, like the sensory stuff, the social stuff. We've both talked about changing it, but, like, once you've been somewhere for so long, you're so used to the routine and the security of that job,
yeah,
that you're stuck there. And like I've said, like, getting a job once you're diagnosed or autistic, do you know what I mean? Like, getting one job is, like, you know, for a lot of people is seen as, like, a big achievement and a big deal. So, like, there's a good possibility that you just try looking for another job and just never find it.
Yeah.
So you just have to have these structured structured ways of doing everything.
Obviously, like, being management, we have to deal with customers that are being difficult. I think I don't think you struggle with that. I think you're fine with that, but I think you don't have the same. So other members of management, if they're dealing with it, will have, like, more of a, oh, how, like, can I help you sort of thing, whereas you will help, but you don't have the same, like, apologies, like, I don't know how to describe it.
It's the social norms of conversation. Yeah. That's it. Like, I know what you mean. Like, so when someone's got to return something or wants a refund, regular NT people will end their conversations with, you know, sorry about that, or I apologize, or sorry for the inconvenience. Whereas I am more matter of fact.
Yeah.
I'm more like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. You know, then follow the policy of the store, give them what they want. But I keep my conversation to the same level as if I was selling them something.
Yeah.
But that's because I have routines with my speech with strangers. Like, I couldn't talk to a stranger outside the store, but I can talk to strangers inside the store.
Yeah.
So, like, outside, if someone comes up to me and asks me the time, I wouldn't give them the time because I won't talk to people I don't know. But inside the store, it's different. You kind of see it as, like, your area, domain. But the things I say to customers is routine stuff.
Yeah.
So it's the same conversation I'm having with the same person. I don't look at them. So I can't make eye contact with customers. I never do. Recently, though, I've weirdly become aware of the fact that I'm not looking at people. I don't know if it's because of these podcasts and because we're talking about this kind of thing, that I've noticed that how little eye contact I make with people.
I've noticed how little eye contact I make with people. Like, I think maybe not so much through the podcast, but just through, like, the whole possibly being autistic thing in general.
But you are.
Well, yeah, like, I... don't, like, I've noticed it with customers when I'm trying to deal with them and they're kind of moving their head to try and get in my vision, but I'm just staring at the counter while I talk to them. I notice that I do that.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to stare at the till, so obviously the till's got a display, so if you look at that, just pretend like there's something interesting on there that's relevant to what you're doing, and that seems to pass
okay
as a way of doing it. So I pretend like I'm looking up, like, some account details, or I'm looking up, like, a product, or I just do that. Every now and then, pull a face that looks like you're looking at something interesting, and it looks like that you're just helping them out by doing something on the till.
Yeah.
Because I have had it in the past when people do that thing where you're not looking at them, so they start moving their head to try and get in your face. That is annoying when that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not good with complaints or people that get aggressive, because there's no social. I don't understand the social boundaries of what I can and can't say to people.
Yeah.
I've never understood the whole customer sales assistant dynamic.
Yeah.
Never understood it. I have said things, have done things, like, in previous jobs where I'm surprised I wasn't fired for it. But nothing, there's nothing in my head that tells me I've done a wrong thing or I've done something bad. It's always like a manager or a boss would take me to the side and go, why are you talking to people like that? Do you think that's acceptable?
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't recall it exactly, but I had a meeting because apparently a customer came to the counter to, this was like an old job I had, to get served, and I was doing something else and they were doing this annoying like tapping on the counter to try and get my attention, and apparently my reply was, what do you want? I don't remember doing it, but there was a meeting because they put a complaint in, and do you know what I mean? Like, I had to have a thing about it, and that's because I don't understand, like, I guess there's like this weird unwritten rule of like, you're employed, you represent the company or whoever you're working for.
Yeah.
They're the client, customer, whatever, and you're expected to behave a certain way. And NT people just fall into that role, no problem. But I feel like people on the spectrum do not fall into that role that well. Like, we don't understand the thing. And I, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't get into the mindset of do this, do that, you know, be a certain way. I always have to say what I'm thinking. You know, if someone starts shouting at me, I get confused because I tend to mimic other people's behavior when I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking to someone, if they're in a happy mood, I fake happy mood.
Yeah.
If they're angry, I fake angry. And that's how I've always socialized outside of work. But you can't use that same dynamic in work.
Yeah.
So when a customer gets angry, you can't get angry as well.
Yeah, you can't mimic.
However, like, that's so, like, it's so, like, ingrained in me now because that's how I made it through school, everything else. I mean, you've probably witnessed it where someone's getting aggressive with me and I start to get aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't feel aggressive or angry. It's just there's that, like, weird routine with me now to do that. But yeah, there are aspects of my job that, or things I do at work that, like, you can tell they're my traits. I don't think anybody else at work notices what my traits are.
No.
I think you do because you know me and you know what they are. But I think everybody at work, because I've never actually, you know, like, bit by bit gone through them all.
Yeah.
They don't know what my traits are, so they don't know the things that I do at work that are autistic and the things that I do at work that are just me.
Yeah.
But I, you know, like I said, the persona I put on of, like you said, that I'm a bit, I don't know what would you say my work personality is, but it's someone that's quite dry.
Yeah, very dry. Yeah. Like, the thing you said about not socializing with people, you don't talk to people, you don't start conversations with people, but you are quite good at having conversations with people. If it's about a topic that you know things about, like, you will happily, like, stand there and chat to people. And I think you have, like, good days and bad days.
Yeah.
So there's definitely days where I noticed, like, you'll talk to people a lot more, and then there's days where you'll be a little bit more, I don't know what, in your shell. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
I would say you are better at socializing at work, just in general. Like, the way you talk to people is good. You do have conversations.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's like the follow-on to, because this is like the follow-on episode to school.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I learned at an early age, like, with jobs, that if you're not part of the team, and if you, it turns out with, like, shop work, supermarket work, restaurant work, it's not really about, like, you could be amazing at the job and, like, a really good employee, but if you can't fit into the dynamic of the team, like, you tend to just either quit because you're miserable, or, do you know what I mean, you don't pass your probation because you don't seem right for the place.
Yeah.
And I noticed that I was losing work or not getting work for those reasons, you know, like, people, like, we wouldn't fit in. And, like, at school, like I said, I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want people to notice me. So I learned quite early on that you have to appear to be part of the team, social, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I still have this weird thing at work now where when I turn up to work, if you don't talk to me, I don't talk. And, like, it's a weird thing where if no one ever talked to me, I get through the door, go to work. If someone doesn't start a conversation with me, I don't start talking. And I can go like an hour and a half of not opening my mouth and making a noise out of it until someone goes, you all right?
Yeah.
And it kind of like triggers my then work routine and that kind of thing. And then I'm good at doing the chat and like, are you okay? How's this? How's that? But it's not because I'm interested or really because I'm listening. It's just because that's my, this is how you don't stand out a work routine, to know those things about people.
Yeah.
So the days where you've said that I'm not very chatty, it's because people aren't really starting conversations with me.
Yeah.
And the days where I am chatty, it's because loads of people that day have come up to me and gone, oh, you're right, Nikki, and then just started a chat.
Yeah. Yeah, I do the same in terms of I don't say hi to people. People have to say hi to me, even you. Like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're different. Because obviously when you were first started working, I was already management. You were a Christmas temp.
Yeah.
You were very quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet. I didn't know what your name was for about... probably 2 weeks of your work in there. I think I had to look on the rota just to know what to address you as. A couple of guys had commented on the fact that you had just hair in front of your face. And
yeah.
A lot of people didn't know what you looked like.
Yeah.
And you openly admitted that in your interview, the things or interests you should be relevant to you, or you should have like a knowledge of for the job, you just straight out said, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't do your interview, so I have no idea how you were hired, but you were.
Yeah.
It took you a while to fit in. Even now, when you come to work, there are times when you can tell that you've got, like, your anxiety's up or, like, your stress is up. Like, I can tell. I don't think other people can tell, but, yeah, like, I can tell. Like, once you know, like, if you know someone with Asperger's well enough, you know how to spot the things that they do, like the stims or the whatever. But nobody notices them. Like, they're not blatant. But yeah, you can tell. And I think you're like, you became management more so because when you're management, it is more solitary than...
Yeah, it is. You don't have to fit in with the sales assistant sort of camaraderie. Like, you can just be the silent one in the corner.
Yeah, because you're supposed to keep that level of professionalism where you're not everybody's buddy.
Yeah.
And you're not, I mean, you're still like their boss. So I feel like that in itself is a good position for someone with Asperger's or autism, is to be a boss of some kind, because then you have to be less social.
Yeah.
And your role becomes more about the job than it does about fitting in with the team. Like, now it doesn't matter if, like, the staff that are directly below me hate me.
Yeah.
Or don't want to talk to me. Like, that's irrelevant, because my position now is more about making everything run smoothly that day. And once I've locked in my routines and structures to help that happen, like... it seems like I'm doing well at work.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're like new to a place, like, you fitting in or not fitting in is crucial to you keeping the job there.
Yeah. I think a thing like that I don't really struggle with. Well, I suppose like new people is difficult for me. So like, I do interviews.
Yeah.
And like, when I'm interviewing someone, I put on this weird persona of trying to make them feel like okay about the fact that they're being interviewed, so I go like really happy and really nice because I know I can do it for the 10 minutes that the interview's gonna last. But then they'll come into work, start their first day, and think that maybe we're buddies because I interviewed them.
Yeah.
But then I don't talk to them because I don't. And like, I guess it's weird because with new people being essentially like member of management, so kind of like their boss, like, you're meant to, I guess, introduce them to other people, make them feel comfortable. And I don't, because I know that I've got to spend all day with them and I can't keep that up for more than 10 minutes. So I'm just cold. Like, I don't introduce them to anyone. I don't say hi. I don't chat with them. I don't want to make small talk. I hate making small talk in general. I have no interest in finding out what they're doing.
Oh, I don't get, like, small talk.
Yeah. So, like, and I don't do that with anyone. So even the people that work there, like, if... I don't talk to people at work and I don't have conversations unless someone's having a conversation about something that I really care about. But that doesn't happen very often, so I don't talk.
No, you're like interest and, I suppose, obsessive things aren't really, they're not really things that you have in common with other people. It's not like you have an interest or an obsession that's like a main one that other people have. So yeah. I feel like you're always going to have that problem because yeah, the ones that you like are not ones that other people have sometimes not even heard of.
Yeah. So like a lot of times I find, like I listen to people at work have conversations quite a lot. Like I spend a lot of my day just listening to other people's conversations, but I very rarely get involved in them. So like I would say I'm still quite, like when I first started, I know I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't. And like, but now when I'm at work, I do talk to people, but only to tell them like what jobs they should be doing or to like run the store. I don't really do like friendly chats with people.
No, I mean, but that's, I mean, that's true for most things. I can't do small talk. Small talk's a weird one. It is one of those things that people just do. I always feel like people do it because they're trying to fill silence.
Yeah.
And that no one's really listening. But I don't mind silence. I can sit with someone I don't know and not talk.
Yeah, I can sit with anyone and not talk and be
and like, not have like a content. Weird thing. But I know that for a lot of NT people, there's like an uncomfortable, it's the uncomfortable silence, isn't it? Of, you know, like when you're left in a room with someone, you know the person that's left the room and they've left you in the room with someone that they know too, but you don't know this person. Yeah. And they expect you to just
well, this is like exactly mingle. What I was saying before, where I can't, I just won't bother talking to them.
Yeah, same. But like I say, these are all things. Like it's just talking about this has made me realise that employment in general, you have to have social skills. I'm trying to think of jobs where you don't.
Like you said, like I guess warehouse jobs. I'm sure like
they even then, like there's quite a big like from people I know that have worked in warehouses, they have like they're quite social people.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not as necessary. Like I'm pretty sure you could be the guy that works in the warehouse that doesn't hang out with the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is the thing though. For some people that's okay.
Yeah.
And once they've got past the barrier of trying to get employed by someone that either doesn't know what Asperger's is or does know what it is but doesn't want to make the adjustments.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never prove that they don't want to make the adjustments, but I swear I've had interviews that have gone so well and then when they've gone, have you got any disabilities or anything like that, I've gone, oh yeah, I've got Asperger's, and then I felt like a weird change in the way the person I'm talking to is talking to me. And then, you know, I think it's gone really well. And then I've heard, oh, wait, no, you didn't get the job. And looking back at the jobs that I've been fired from or let go from, all of the things I've been fired for or let go for are traits of mine that at the time I wasn't aware that they were traits of mine.
Yeah.
But once you get diagnosed and once you learn these things, you look back at events in your life after diagnosis and just think, ah, that's why that happened.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time it didn't make sense and you were confused and you didn't get what was going on. And then after you get the diagnosis and after you learn where you, I mean, it'll have to be the same for you, I think. So once you're diagnosed, I think, and if you haven't done it already, you'll look back at like previous events in your life and understand them now more so than you ever did. And I can think of like at least 4 jobs that I either was just told I didn't work there anymore or was fired, and the things I was fired for or let go for are all traits of mine.
Yeah.
What
were those traits?
I got fired from a job that was data entry. So as odd as it sounds, like one of the things I was told on the course that data entry and that admin kind of things where you don't talk to anyone sat on a computer is perfect for people with Asperger's. However, I've had a data entry job, which was literally just typing numbers from one screen to the, so reading on one screen, taking out information and just putting it into a spreadsheet on another screen.
Yeah.
I was terrible at that. Like, it was really basic as well. And like the people that worked there just didn't understand why I couldn't do it. They just didn't get it. And I didn't get it. And they kind of told me at the end of 1 week that apparently the mistakes I were making was so, there were so many of them, that it took another person just as much time as it took me to do it to correct it. So they told me that I had like 1 more week left and if I didn't improve, then that was it. And that week I proper concentrated, like I focused, I typed in as much as I could and remembered, you know, and just tried to pay as more attention I've ever paid to anything.
Yeah.
And at the end of that week, my boss told me that in that week, I made more mistakes than the other weeks previous. And he went, and we just, I can't have you because this is, they were like, this is a really basic job. This is data entry. Like, he was pretty much telling me a monkey could do it.
Yeah.
And he just thought that I just didn't care. And that's why I didn't work there. You know what I mean? Like, and I was gone. I lasted like 2 months. I have had lost jobs from overstepping my boundaries with bosses and saying things to them that there's this weird, like, they're my boss, I'm their employee, so I just have to suck it up and have them have a go at me and not say anything. And I've just said stuff. And I've not seen it as a problem. It wasn't until after that I've realised that the reason that it went wrong there is because I didn't understand the social etiquette of that situation. And I've just, in my head, gone, he's a person, I'm a person, why does he think he can talk to me like this?
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? Like, you can't weigh it up, so you just sort of think, he's talking to me like this, so maybe that's what this conversation, like, this is the tone of this conversation, so I need to talk this way as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I start saying similar things back to them, and that's that. I mean, that happens all the time, though. Like, it comes up a lot, like, in a lot of these episodes where I talk about how I don't like authority and I'm not good at talking to bosses.
Yeah, you're not.
So, yeah, that's always been an issue. Definitely, that's, I've lost jobs for that way. And, yeah, it's just underperforming is my main reasons for losing jobs. Like, it's the same reason, like I said, in school, I got just average grades. And it's the same with work. Like, I've lost jobs just because they've given me really basic tasks and I just haven't been able to do it in a way that's, you know, how they want. And, you know, I've said before, it's learning styles. So, like, everybody with Asperger's learns differently. And some employers just believe that, like, there's one way to teach everyone. And if they've shown all the NT people how to do something and they've picked it up straight away, they don't understand why they've done the same training with me and I'm not picking it up. So, you know, same thing there. After diagnosis, I realized it's because I have a different learning style and they just didn't bother to learn what that was. And I didn't know what it was either.
So of the jobs you've had from an Asperger's perspective, what would you say was the worst?
The retail jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, as weird as that sounds, I'm still doing it now, but, retail is not, I mean, I think initially, like, I felt good that I was working in retail because they tell you that people with Asperger's shouldn't work in retail because it's front of house, it's customer facing, you know, it's just all these things. And they warn you. And, you know, this is part of me that wanted to do it just to show that people with Asperger's could do it. But if I'm honest, this job, it's too much. Like,
yeah, it is a lot.
Just the things that it, and for a lot of people, it's easy. Like, there's loads of people that do the same job as us that have just gone, this is like the easiest job I've ever had. And it's like the most relaxed and like most fun. And like, this is, and for me, like, sometimes, like, I mean, I have to take like 2 weeks to a week off at a time holiday just to get away from it, just to get it like flushed out of me.
Yeah. I mean, I have like an evening routine that I have to do when I get back from work just to get myself calmed down.
Yeah.
Just because I find it super stressful.
Yeah. So, like, I can understand why some people with Asperger's don't have jobs.
A lot of, like, people that I've seen that have Asperger's and work have a whole thing of that they can't work more than a certain amount of hours a week because it's overwhelming to them. So a lot of them are part-time. I think it's worth pointing out that both you and I are on 35-hour contracts a week. So we are full-time, which I think, like, being full-time is stressful for anyone, even if you're not on the spectrum, just because you're spending a significant amount of time in that place doing that job. So seeing that a lot of people that are on the spectrum are part-time, and that's, I can imagine why that would be helpful. I'm sure that would make it a lot more manageable. I don't think I'd find the job as stressful if I was only, like, if I was a part-time
if you were there for half the time that you're there now.
I can see why that would definitely be a benefit. I think if you can afford to I would definitely recommend that just for keeping your stress levels down. I mean, I would recommend not working at all, but I think like there is some benefits to going to work. Like,
yeah, I can't. I can't decide it. Like, it's one of those things where, I mean, you see me. I get annoyed when people with Asperger's come into our place of work, tell me they've got Asperger's, and then tell me that's why they can't work and that's why they can't get a job. And like, I'm not one for outing myself to other strangers.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just sort of go, I've got Asperger's, you know, like I want to like sort of say it to them. Like, but I've had people just blatantly come in and just tell me that they don't have a job because they've got Asperger's, but not like, I wish I could have a job. Just more like, I don't have to work because of this. And I do look at them and just think like, I can't decide whether this is just because it is too difficult for you or you've just seen like an easy way around it.
Yeah, I think there are benefits to having a job and having Asperger's. Like, I think if I didn't have a job, I would be very solitary. Like, I feel like I'd almost lose my ability to talk because other than seeing you, I wouldn't see anyone else or talk to anyone else.
Mm.
So I think it definitely, I don't know how much I need that social interaction, but it gives me social interaction, which is probably important in terms of me then being able to be in social situations in general.
Yeah.
In a sense, it gives me a routine. Like, I find it quite stressful that our jobs are shifts, so we don't know what hours we're going to do, so I can't get like a standard morning routine or a standard evening routine. But I think just the idea of going to work in general, that does give me a sense of routine.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, if you spent years in school, so like going to school every day and doing the same thing, it could just be an extension of that, you know?
Yeah, I've had a week off and I'm having a bit of time off this week as well as holiday.
Yeah.
And I do find myself a little bit at loose ends. Like, I enjoy it a lot and I just tend to sit and read for a lot of the day or like exercise. But there is a part of me that feels a little bit kind of out of place because, I'm so used to the routine of work that not having it is odd.
Yeah. I mean, in my case, I think I have a job, obviously, for the main reason everybody has a job, which is money.
Yeah.
But, like, I have this weird sort of way of just showing people, like, you can work if you've got it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I keep a job for that reason. And I could happily just not have a job and happily just not work and, you know, never go to work again. Like, no problem for me. I feel like I would have the, like you said, the sense of, I don't know, not having a place, like loose end kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think I work because, like, it's, like I said, like, it's kind of just showing people that I can work. But there are times at work where, do you know what I mean? Even I've almost used, like, my Asperger's as, like, an excuse to like just random people, you know, like just where like, and that's when it makes me think, should I be working?
Yeah.
Like not so long ago, I got into like quite a heated, long like argument with two people at work, two customers. And it's the closest I've ever been to going, they said something along the lines of, why can't you conduct yourself properly? Or why can't you behave properly? Or why are you not talking to me in a way that you should be talking to me?
Yeah.
And I almost went, it's because I've got Asperger's. And it was like the one only time where I could feel it almost leaving my mouth and like saying it. And I've never had to do that before. I've never had to say to someone, it's because I've got Asperger's. That's why this is going, like, but I was so close to saying it. I told my social worker about it and she said that I should have said it.
Yeah. I mean,
but when like stuff like that happens or when like that came up, that's when I have like a weird, like, should I actually be working? Because it was just such an odd, do you know what I mean? An odd situation because I just thought, should I have a job? Like, because I did just almost tell someone, like, or just should I be working somewhere different? Does this need to prove like that I'm, unique with my Asperger's? Like, is it really that necessary, or should I just accept the fact that maybe I shouldn't be working, or if I should be, it should be somewhere else, or it should be for less hours, you know?
Yeah, I had a really similar thing where there was a night where I was the member of management on, so there was no other members of management on but myself, and there were three sales assistants on with me, and just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the store just filled up with people like I've never seen before. It was just a mad rush that was mental. And all four of us were on tills serving, and we all got stuck doing buy-ins. So our store, we sell stuff, but we also buy stuff. But we all got stuck with quite big buy-ins, which meant the queue just wasn't moving. But all four of us were busy. There was no one else to serve. And the store was, it was loud, it was hot, the lights are really bright. All of these things together were stressing me out. Knowing that these customers were getting annoyed was stressing me out. And then I still have this thing of not being able to address people without them speaking to me. So then a man went, "Is anyone going to serve?" And I carried on doing what I was doing. And then he went, "Who's in charge here?" So I looked up and I said, "That's me." And he said that I should be addressing the queue of people and telling them what's going on. And I just couldn't talk because I was already really stressed out. And then to have this person tell me that I should address a group of people, which I'm physically incapable of doing, was just, it just got so much. And then a child wet himself on the floor and the mother was trying to tell me that I needed to clean it up, which I just told her no. And I genuinely had a moment of almost just going to the toilet and having a proper meltdown. But I knew that my position was to manage the store at that point, so I just needed to do it. But that was probably, for me, like a real moment where I thought, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I had this man telling me that I wasn't doing my job properly because I wasn't addressing him. And it was just so stressful. I still, like, it's still in my head of how stressful it was. And that was a big moment for me of thinking, can I do this?
Yeah, I mean, but then this is the thing. Then you have to, you go back to the, if you do want a job, and it sounds like you do want to work. Like,
yeah.
Knowing what job is the job for you. And like I said, unless you have like a really special skill that you can use to make money.
Yeah.
I still haven't come across anything or any sort of like, study, survey. I mean, try and do one of these questionnaires on Google. You basically fill out loads of questionnaires and it tells you jobs that you're best suited to.
Okay.
Every time I've done it, the result has been different every time. So it's never been any use to me. But like, try and pinpoint an actual job that you think is good for Asperger's that's just basic work that just is universally, not obviously everybody's different, but like good for it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I can't think of
it. Couldn't find it. I've looked for ages for one, and it's not like, and when you talk to people, when I did these courses, they just said something back of house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Something where you have like, and they, you say, what job is that? Like, give me that job title. And they just went, I don't know. And they're like, they don't name anything. They just kind of vaguely go into stuff. So it's difficult because I don't know if there, I mean, there's not a perfect job for everybody anyway in general, but like, I don't feel like there's, I don't know, there's not really like, there's not been enough like research into this.
Yeah.
Into what is a good job. And like, you see it on like Facebook forums and that kind of thing where someone says, has anyone here, you know, someone will post the question, is anybody here employed?
Yeah.
What do you do? And like, I've gone into those and the range of jobs on there is just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see like a pattern or anything. So yeah, it's always been a problem. Like, I do a job that I do because I have to do, but I'm not sure like to what level. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think if they didn't have my diagnosis and if I wasn't, you know, if they didn't know about me, like, I don't know if they'd have kept me or not. Like, it's you know, it's one of those things you have to think about, I suppose.
Yeah. I definitely think having a job is a good thing. If you can manage it, then I would recommend it. But yeah, I think seeing what other people are doing, I would probably opt for a part-time if I could afford to do so, for sure. I think that would be the best way for managing having a job and having Asperger's. And in terms of what job you're doing, I mean, the one that involves, a job that involves the least amount of you know, customer service or socializing is probably the better choice. But then again, like, I'm recommending that, but me and you are both full time in a full on customer service role, so maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's another hour.
I know.
It's another hour done. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this was quite a grim conversation.
It was so grim. I mean, it was talking about work, wasn't it?
Yeah. I feel like this was quite a down. You know, like when we did the relationships one, and when we finished it, I was like, that seems a bit. Does that seem a bit like of a downer like episode? Like talking about like bleak things, like about how we see relationships with people. I feel like this was one of them.
I mean, this was one of them.
That got quite like I don't know.
It did get deep.
Yeah, and like just I don't know, kind of.
There wasn't really a way to sugarcoat it. I suppose. I really like to say no, like we found the perfect jobs, but we haven't.
Yeah, so if anybody that's listening to this knows of the perfect job,
for people
on the spectrum, that would be great.
If anyone wants to hire two really depressing, antisocial people.
We're not depressing. It's just this conversation was a little bit depressing.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the depressingness.
Yeah, like whatever you pick next time, can you make it a much lighter topic?
I already know what we're doing next time. I swear it's a lot happier, and I'll have done like research for it, so it will be way more prepared. Like, I like how unstructured these are, but like next time they'll be kind of like, I don't know, it will be good. It will flow nicely.
It'll be good. That's a lot of pressure.
Oh, God.
All right, anyway, that's it for now. Thanks. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.